Hello, this is Richard Davis, welcoming you to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not-so-old. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be hearing about a film festival taking place in Brighton this month, which is in its third year and going from strength to strength. Then we'll be talking to yet another member of the cast of the touring production of Mamma Mia, who learnt his craft as a member of the Brighton Theatre Group, and hearing about the opening of a new community centre for older people near Preston Park Station. As usual, we'll be giving out various telephone numbers, email addresses and website addresses during the course of the programme, so you may like to have a pencil and paper handy to write them down. So, let's get going with the film festival, shall we? Well, back in 2015, we reported on a new film festival that had started in Brighton, which in those days was called the Short Hot Flush Film Festival. It's changed its name. It's now the Women Over 50 Film Festival, and it's in its third year this year. And with me in the studio is the power behind the throne, Nuala O'Sullivan, who's come here to tell us all about it. So, Nuala, it was quite a small festival when it first started, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was just an idea a friend of mine and I had, sitting talking in a pub one night, thinking that we just weren't seeing enough older faces on our screen. And also from my experience of going to film festivals, I wasn't seeing very many older women in the festival audience or seeing details about them from behind the camera. And I just thought, well, you know, I'm not going to have it, this. And I decided with my friend that we would set up, we thought, well, we'll just see what happens. We'll put out a call, see if anybody wants to send us films by or about older women. And we had a lovely one-day event in the Exeter Street Hall, Community Hall. And that very first year, we got 68 films and we showed 27 of them to an audience of 80 people. We got 80 people in an 80-seater hall. So even from those tiny beginnings, we knew that there was something there. We knew that women wanted to send us work, and we knew that people wanted to see this work. And that's really the kind of crucial thing to learn in the first year. So that's how we started.
It sounds like a very good start if you've got that many films and that big an audience right from the word go. So as I say, it's now in its third year. It's grown in size. It's now three days, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. We went to 2 days last year and now we're up to 3 days this year.
So next year it'll be the whole week, no?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we might be at capacity now for a wee bit. We'll see. We'll see.
And you've moved from the Exeter Street Hall to some rather bigger venues.
Yes. Now, this year, for the first time, we're at the University of Brighton, which is terribly exciting on lots of fronts. For our dear, dear audience, I think they'll be absolutely thrilled that for the first time ever, we're in a raked situation. So that's where the seats are like a proper cinema or theatre, where everybody gets a really good, clear view of the screen. Because for the last few years, we've been in flat situations. So you're fine if you're in the first two rows, but it's a wee bit tricky as you get further back. And since the very beginning, we've always had a lot of foreign films, so we've had films with subtitles. So it's been really important that everyone gets a good, clear view. So I think the audience will be really delighted that we're in the university. We're in the Salus Benny Theatre. They're right here on Grand Parade, and it's a beautiful venue, and everyone will be super comfortable. So there are lots of great benefits for being in the university, but that's a really top important one.
Yes, that's a good venue in that respect. Not, as you say, nice rate seating, an on-site cafe.
Yes.
And right in the centre of Brighton, where it's easy for people to get to.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, and walkable from the station for people who are coming from out of town, and very central for people to get to on bus or walk.
And no doubt there'll be a certain amount of publicity on display there, so you'll get some passing trade as well, hopefully.
Yes, that would be great, yeah. The other nice thing about the university is then we have access to a classroom, and this year we're running, as well as doing showing 8 different programmes of short films, we'll be running 7 workshops, which is a new venture for us this year. We've got workshops on things like embroidery and Latin American dance. And then we've got some that are more specifically geared towards filmmakers. So workshops like how to make a film on your smartphone, and making and distributing your film in the digital age. So there's plenty for everyone at this year's festival.
That's great. You're actually starting at the Duke of York's, aren't you?
That's right, yes. We are launching on Thursday, the 14th of September, at the Picture House Duke of York at Preston Circus. And we are launching with the classic film, Mamma Mia. It's a very interesting film in lots of ways, not least because it's one of the very few films that has three older women right there at the centre having fun, making mistakes, having a bit of a laugh, and being sensual and sexual and engaged in the world, which is actually a way that we very rarely see older women portrayed on screen. And what's very interesting about that film, I think, is that not only are there three great stars at the centre of it on screen, there are three older women behind the camera in the writer, the producer and the director. So that is actually a classic WAF film, because that's the rule. If you want to submit a film to us, the rules are very simple. Your short film either has to have an older woman, a woman over 50, at the centre of the piece on screen, or there has to be a woman over 50 in the core creative team behind the camera. So that's the producer, the director or the writer.
Right. And, of course, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but we've had a stage version of Mamma Mia in Brighton just recently.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that people have enjoyed the theatre version so much they'll want to experience it again on the big screen. But, yes, I know that that's on just now, yeah.
You're talking about submissions. So you actually invite women filmmakers to send in films. Mm-hmm. Presumably you're not looking for full-length feature films.
No, so we are and always have been at the moment a short film festival. So that's films that are under 20 minutes for drama, animation and experimental, or under 30 minutes for documentaries. And we do ask women filmmakers, but we also ask male filmmakers and boys and girls. Anybody is welcome to submit a film as long as it's got an older woman at the centre of the story. So actually, an 11-year-old boy could make a film about his great-grandma and that would be welcome at the festival. But yeah, at the moment, it's all shorts.
And they're all judged on the same basis, presumably.
Yes, that's right. We've got a team of about 10 or 12 selectors, people who work at the Picture House Duke of York's, other screeners and interested parties in Brighton and in London. And we all have a scoring sheet and we mark the films. And this year we got 152 submissions and we're screening 55 of them. So about one in every three films is getting screened at the festival.
That's pretty good. And presumably you don't show all 55 films in one long run.
No. So the dates and information about the festival is that it launches on the 14th of September, which is a Thursday, with the Mamma Mia launch that I mentioned earlier at the Picture House Duke of York's. Then there's no planned activity for Friday, and then the festival showing the films kicks off on the 16th of September. So we're in the Salus Benny Theatre at the University of Brighton on Grand Parade here on Saturday the 16th of September and Sunday the 17th of September. And on the Saturday and Sunday, the programmes run between about 12 and 9 o'clock. So in total, we'll have 8 separate screenings of about 7 or 8 films each. And each programme runs for about 60 minutes. And then we'll have a 10-minute Q&A because quite a lot of the filmmakers are attending. And then a part that the audience always loves in a film festival is a chance to talk to the makers of the work afterwards. So each session will be about 75 minutes.
Right, so you start at midday, basically, and go on till 9 o'clock in the evening with breaks.
And we'll have all those films, and we'll also have 4 workshops one day and 3 workshops another.
Can people come along to just part of the session?
Each thing has a separate ticket, And so you can buy, you know, for screening 3 and workshop 7, you can pick and choose. If you really want to get your money's worth, you can get a festival pass, and that will give you entry to 8 events for the price of 7. And you could mix and match. You could take a few screenings and a few workshops and, you know, just come and go as you please on Saturday and Sunday. Let me just tell you a little bit about tickets while, while I'm here. We've got all different stratas of tickets. We've got regular tickets, which are about £7.50 with plus a booking fee. There are a limited number of concession tickets that have got a discount on it, and that's for people who are disabled or carers or older people or students. We might ask you for proof of your concession status if you tick that. So bring something with you to show that you're eligible for a concession. There's the festival pass, which I mentioned, which gets you in for 8 events for the price of 7. And there are also some free events. We wouldn't want to price anybody out of this festival, and we want it to welcome everybody, no matter what your budget. So we've got 2 free events this year. And they are, we've got a lecture, because we're in the university, we've got a fabulous academic, Louise Fitzgerald, who's going to tell us about the about older women's representation in Mamma Mia. So it's actually an academic interpretation of Mamma Mia, which is one of the reasons that we're launching with it. And the other free event is an all-female panel event. So we'll have 3 or 4 women from in front of and behind the camera, and they'll be in conversation with the BBC World Service journalist Rebecca Kesby. So there's plenty for everyone and plenty for everybody's pocket as well. And you can get those tickets on Eventbrite, or you can just turn up with cash on the day and we'll sell you a ticket on the door.
That's great. Now, is there a website that where people can find out more information? Or
yes. So we're on all the usual social media places that you'd expect us to be. We've got our own website, which are the initials of the festival. So that's Women Over 50 Film Festival. So WOFFF, which is WOFF. And if you want to remember it, it's like a posh dog. So it's woff off. That's how I remember it. So it's woff.co.uk. And then we're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And that way we are WO50FF. So Women Over, then 50FF. So there's lots of ways to find out.
Nilla O'Sullivan, thanks very much.
Thanks so much for having me. And I'll see you again next year, please God.
I hope so.
Okay, bye now.
I was talking to Nilla O'Sullivan about the 3rd Women Over 50 Film Festival, which takes place on Thursday the 14th, Saturday the 16th and Sunday the 17th of September. You can find out more details from their website, which is at woff.co.uk. That's woff, there are 3 Fs there, .co.uk. You can also get tickets via the website, or you can buy tickets on the door. Well, now, as Nilla mentioned, the festival's launching on Thursday the 14th of September with a showing of the film Mamma Mia at the Duke of York's. As you know, the stage production of Mamma Mia has just visited Brighton, and a week or so ago we broadcast an interview which Chris English had with one of the members of the cast who started his acting career as an amateur with the Brighton Theatre Group. Well, in fact, there's not just one, but 2 members of the cast for whom that's true, and Chris caught up with the other one just recently. His name's Rory Maguire, and Chris began by asking him how long he'd been with the company.
I've been in the company now for about 7 months. Yeah, I think we kicked off in January, and now, yeah, we're here in the Brighton Centre in August, which is nice.
What's it like being in your hometown?
I was just saying to a friend earlier, it's strange working here when it's your own home. It's kind of like your two different lives kind of combining, because being on tour is very different to, you know, when you're home with your family, etc. So it's really strange just walking out my front door to go to work. Like, I've never had that before, so it's great.
What about local support? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think I had about 25 people in on press night, so I was quite nervous, but it's great. Yeah, it's really cool as well, because it's difficult. It's, you know, tickets can be hard to come by, whatever, and it's nice to have so many people coming along to support. Yeah, mates from school and college and my hometown, so it's great, yeah, really good.
Unlike Ollie, because that was his first West End experience,
yeah.
This is not your first big professional show, is it?
No, I haven't had my West End experience yet, but I've toured before with Shrek, the UK tour of Shrek, so it's nice to already have that experience, I suppose, as well, because you kind of know how things work, like with sorting out digs, which sometimes I can be a bit unorganised doing. and visiting similar places, do you know what I mean? I've been to a few places twice now, which is cool, so you kind of, you know, the local pubs and local boozers to go to after work and or train stations, etc., that sort of thing, yeah.
How does Mamma Mia compare to Shrek or any other musical?
It was, in a similar way, they're both very upbeat and it's full of energy, but it's very different because obviously Shrek's kind of like a standalone new production, and Mamma Mia has obviously been going for years and years and years and years and years, and it's got that support of ABBA fans and fans of the show or fans of the movie, so yeah, it's different. It's a lot more regimented, but in a good way. Like but at the same time, there is quite a lot of freedom. Do you know what I mean? Like the sort of parts that we play as the younger lads. You know, we're mates of Sky. And it's his stag do, and we're out, and we're having a drink, and we're having a dance, and it's fun. You can kind of put yourself into it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's kind of, you have that kind of freedom, which is cool, which is really, really good. And also, the lads on this gig at the moment, we're all such a close-knitted group of lads, so it's almost like we can mess about, you know, in a professional way together. So it's good. It's really fun.
And how different is it from the West End show?
I tell you what, I saw the West End show quite a couple of years ago, so it's hard for me to remember. But I couldn't tell. I suppose maybe the audiences, I suppose, because we'll have like local audiences. Do you know what I mean? So I think you get a bit of that kind of home vibe, like wherever you go. I think that's something different. So you know, the audiences in Newcastle will be very different to maybe Oxford. Do you know what I mean, or something like that? So it's I suppose that's the kind of difference I see. I need to go and see the show, actually, in town and, yeah, compare.
What is it about ABBA and Mamma Mia and, of course, Brighton, where ABBA first started?
Well, yeah, because they performed the Brighton Dome where they won Eurovision. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember when I was little and I was in the car with my mum. My mum was playing Dancing Queen and I was literally going for gold. There's something about that music. There really, really is. Like, I don't know anyone who doesn't like ABBA, and obviously that was backed up with the film coming out. It feels like that the script fits in so well with the music. It's almost like they knew already that they were going to produce this musical, which is strange, but it's nice because I think a lot of jukebox musicals, sometimes you watch a show and it feels like they've gone, let's just whack in this song here because we can just develop the show a little bit more. But I feel like every single song definitely has its own place in the show, which is beautiful. It's great.
Now, of course, you started as a member of Brighton Theatre Group.
Yes.
So how much influence has that first start had on your career?
Honestly, I'd say a huge influence. I did drama at school and it didn't interest me a huge amount when I was at school. And then when I did my first show, I did Oliver at Theatre Royal. Must have been about 11 or 12 at the time. And I absolutely just loved it. It's not just performing, definitely performing, but also just the kind of the morale, like with your friends and with cast members, and you learned how to be directed and how to work with an MD and all this sort of stuff. And that's when I knew I wanted to do it. And I just kept on doing the shows. So I owe so much to Brighton Theatre Group and so much to Keith Shepherd, who looks after all of Brighton Theatre Group. You don't always get an opportunity to do these shows, do you know what I mean? Especially at drama school, you do get to do a few shows, but I think, like, learning to take on a role and performing, even just performing in front of an audience and learning how to deal with nerves and stuff like that. So I think it's a really, really, really good basis to start with, because you learn, like, a lot of little things, like, you know, you make mistakes or you're like, oh, that really worked when I did that, and or that didn't work when I did this. So it was great for me because then I moved, after Brighton Theatre Group, I moved on to drama school where I went to the Brighton Academy, which is run by Emma Green, Stuart Dawes, Kate Alexander and Tim Newman. And it was a great starting point for me, just because I think you have that just performing experience, really. Do you know what I mean? Maybe in comparison to doing like your dance exams when you're little and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been really good.
What's the future? Where do you go after the tour? Have you got in your head, have you got a career mapped out?
Well, I'm just really grateful for the work I've done so far, and I think I just feel really grateful, and I'm just really happy to be working and performing. Obviously, I've got a lot of interest in TV and film, which I'm sure if you ask any musical theatre performer, they'll tell you the exact same thing. There's a few things I like to do. There's a few shows in London that I like to do. I'd love to do Mormon, Matilda, Wicked, stuff like that, which I go see these shows and get really inspired. And I've got lots of friends who perform in all different sorts of shows. And I've got a mate of mine called Luke, who's in a Disney series at the moment. And all these people inspire me to want to do the same sort of thing. But I'm just really grateful to be doing what I love, really. I'm sure if you ask any musical theatre performer, they'll say the same thing, or any actor or entertainer. So I do just want to work. Obviously, I have goals and ambitions, but right now I just feel like in a great place right now. There's a lot of support, and it's really good fun. It's good fun.
And finally, what's your favourite number in the show?
Favourite number in the show is definitely Does Your Mother Know. It's an absolutely great number. The lad in the show who plays Pepper, called Lewis Stockwell, he's absolutely brilliant.
Rory, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Chris English was talking to Rory Maguire, one of the cast members of Mamma Mia, who started his acting career with Brighton Theatre Group. Now also with me in the studio today is Vicky Hill. And Vicky, you've come in to tell me about a new community centre that's opening this month.
Yes, SVP have a new community centre opening near Preston Park in Brighton called Tower House. Tower House was closed last year as a day centre as part of the funding cuts, and I know people were very attached to it as a day centre, so we're really glad to be able to reopen it as an SVP community centre for older people.
So it's specifically for older people, is it?
Yes, it is. We specifically want to reach out to people who may be finding it difficult to get out and engage in things. So we're hoping, you know, people who might know somebody who's not getting out very often, who might benefit from having a bit more social interaction, will give us their names so we can go and talk to them, see what we can do to help.
And what sort of services are you going to provide at the centre?
Well, initially, we're running on a team of volunteers with two or three paid members of staff. And initially, we're going to sort of open very gently a couple of days throughout September. But gradually, we hope to pick up steam, moving to 3 days a week by the end of the year. And hopefully next year, we'll be full time. We're going to be offering transport. We've got one minibus at the moment, and obviously a lot of willing drivers and cars. We're going to be offering lunches, which to begin with may be a little bit more low-key whilst we get organised, but eventually we will be offering proper cooked meals every day and activities. The centre itself is really beautiful. We hope to have a library, a quiet space for those who don't want to join in. But we'll also have art programmes, exercise programmes, quizzes, games, and, you know, just general activities, and possibly some outings as well.
How are you going to find the people to
well,
come to the centre?
We're hoping you might be able to help us with that. We already have a number of people on our books who will be coming along. But if there's anybody out there themselves who thinks that they'd like to come and have a look, please don't hesitate to contact me. But if you are someone who has a neighbour in your street or someone you're concerned of, please think of them and maybe ask if they would like to be referred to us, and we'll go along and see them and have a chat and see how we can help.
So it's obviously better to ask the person before
yes.
you refer them, so
yes,
that they,
yes.
don't get
a one, shock yeah. some stranger phoning up.
You're mentioning volunteers. Do you have enough volunteers at the moment?
We have volunteers, but the more volunteers we have, the better. And we're looking for volunteers in for all aspects. If you feel you can help with making a cup of tea, or if you feel that you can help in the kitchen with the cooking, we'll be offering food hygiene training and proper supervision. If you have a skill you could share, maybe you've got an interesting part of your life you'd like to talk to people about, that would be great. So however much or little you can offer will be gratefully received.
And that applies to time as well, presumably.
Yes, time, activities, yes. It's more flexible than other ways. Obviously, we need to know who's coming in when to run the centre, but we are trying to be as flexible as possible. And we hope also to offer some volunteer training and information sessions so that people feel that they're gaining as well as giving.
Now, you mentioned a couple of times SVP as the organisation that's running the centre. Who are SVP?
SVP is the St Vincent de Paul Society. It's a Catholic charity. It's been running for a good few hundred years now. It's an international charity. Their aim is to reach out to people who are struggling with poverty or difficult circumstances or loneliness, wherever we might find them. We are a Catholic charity, but we work with people of no faith or any faith. So we're open to everybody, and we're not overtly religious in our approach.
So if somebody comes in, you don't try and convert them then?
No, we don't. Not at all. Not at all.
I suppose, in a sense, you're doing the same sort of work as the Salvation Army.
I suppose we might be in some ways, yes, I suppose we might be. But you know, I think there's room, and there's certainly still an enormous amount of people who are isolated in Brighton and Hove, you know, so there's always room for one more.
Of course, yes, there's always a need, isn't there?
There is, yes.
Who was St Vincent de Paul?
St Vincent de Paul was a priest in the 16th century, and he came to prominence during the plague, and he found people were refusing to help, and there was a family who'd been left without parents, and he arranged for them to be fed, and that was the start of it, really. And as with all forms of poverty, once you scratch the surface, the more you look for, the more you find. So he, by the end of his life, had built many, many services. But he developed what are called, because he was a French priest, they are called conferences, groups of volunteers who work together in quite a structured way. And there's a number of SVP conferences in and around Brighton and Hove who work really hard to help their communities. And in fact, the community centre has been the long-held dream of one of our SVP conference district presidents, who has worked tirelessly for this for years, who has dreamed and dreamed of having a community centre for people.
So it's lucky that the premises became available when they did.
It did. We'd been looking for 2 years, actually, and Peter Cropp, who found them, he went ahead with them. As I say, it's an unusual building, and people were terribly upset when it closed. It has that feeling of being home from home. Mm. It's just been empty, so we've had a bit of repair work to do. It's had a few leaks and a few damp patches, and so it has just been left empty.
But before it was empty, what was it then?
Oh, it was a day centre.
So it's going back to its former purpose,
yes,
in a sense.
We are not, yes, a day centre. You know, Brighton and Hove Council run their own day centres. We are not. We are a service run by volunteers, not trained professionals, and we hope to be able to offer, support and a bit of colour in people's lives. We also hope we're going to be able to offer information and advice to carers.
That's good. coming down to practicalities, when does the centre actually open?
Well, we're having a very gentle opening on the 5th of September, if anybody wanted to just come and have a look around. But that might be a bit rough around the edges. It's just come and have a cup of tea. The furniture may not all be there by then. Formally, it's opening on Monday the 11th of September, where in the morning we're having sessions for volunteers to come along and just find out what might be involved and to sign up if they would like to. And in the afternoon, we're asking professionals to come along and just again have a look, see where they might be interested, see how we might work together, and then we hope to kick off formally on Wednesday the 19th of September, where the bishop's coming to open it at 4 o'clock.
Right, and so from then on you'll be open to people to come in and make use of your services.
Yes.
Now, going back to September the 5th, what time can people come in?
10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And on the 11th of September, it's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the morning for the volunteers, and in the afternoon for the professionals, people who are interested in just seeing the centre and possibly seeing where we might work together. That will be 1 p.m. to 3:30.
Where is Tower House?
Tower House is on the London Road, leaving Brighton. It's just after the turn off for Preston Park Station. You'll see Tower Gate on your left-hand side, and the number 5 bus stops outside it. There's also plenty of parking. But please, please do get in touch if you would like to come and you have transport issues, because we will do our best to help.
And it's very, very recognisable by the fact it's got a tower on one corner, isn't it?
It has, yes. It's because London Road is such a busy road, it can be easy to drive past it. So you're looking for Tower Gate just after the turn-off for Preston Park Station.
That sounds very interesting. If people would like to find out more, how can they go about it?
They can either email me, Vicky, V-I-C-K-Y-H, at svp.org.uk, or they can call me on my mobile, 0755 756 2718.
Vicky, thanks very much. I hope the opening goes well.
Thank you very much.
Vicky Hill was in the studio to tell me about the new Older People's Community Centre, which is opening at Tower House near Preston Park Station later this month. If you'd like to find out more, you can email Vicky, and her address is vickyh@svp.org.uk. That's Vicky H, which is spelt V-I-C-K-Y-H, at svp.org.uk. Or you can phone her, and her phone number is 07557 562 718. That's 07557 562 718. Now, I've got yet another guest in the studio today. Her name's Penny Woodgate. Welcome, Penny. Could you start by telling us what your job is?
I am the Communications and Engagement Senior Officer for Community Pharmacy, Surrey and Sussex. So representing community pharmacy across Surrey and Sussex.
It's another one of these very long titles, isn't it?
Oh, it does go on a while.
I gather you want to talk about a consultation that the government has sent out about over-the-counter medicines.
Yeah, it's a consultation on items which should not be routinely prescribed in primary care. And it's a national consultation. It went out July the 21st, and the NHS Clinical Commissioners and NHS England published proposals on 18 medicines they suggested should no longer be routinely prescribed in primary care. That meaning, therefore, from your GP, because they're either perhaps not clinically used anymore, or not proven, or not cost-effective, or clinically ineffective. Now, within this consultation, there is also a part further on in the document, which is where they are seeking people's views on whether a wider list of 3,200 products that are available over-the-counter without prescription may be considered appropriate for future restriction. So it's just at consultation stage at the moment. The consultation ends on the 21st of October, Within the section where they're talking about over-the-counter medication, the list includes conditions such as diarrhea, constipation, pain, athlete's foot fever, head lice, insect bites and stings, conjunctivitis, contact dermatitis, sore throat, headache, indigestion, teething, nappy rash, mouth ulcers, earwax. The list is quite long. Viral upper respiratory tract infections. I just think it's worthwhile people being aware that consultation is actually out there.
How do people participate in the consultation?
If they would like to find out more about the consultation, they can access it through the NHS England website, or they can also access the consultation through the Pharmaceutical Services Negotiating Committee website. Now, that sounds quite a long phrase, but it's www.psnc.org.
And when you go to that website, it's fairly obvious.
It's obvious. It's pretty much on the front page. If not, just in the search, just type in consultation.
And can you remind me once again of the closing date?
The closing date is the 21st of October.
Right, so we've got a few weeks yet to be able to get your answers in.
This is all part of the self-care agenda. And when you look at these over-the-counter conditions, the key point is make sure when you're buying medicines, you go to your trusted local community pharmacist who is the expert to know which medicines are safe for you, which medicines should be used, when they should not be used, and what other advice you may need as an alternative.
OK, thanks very much, Penny. Penny Woodgate has been telling us about a consultation run by the government, which is currently taking place on the subject of over-the-counter medicines. If you'd like to take part in the consultation, you can find all the details on the NHS England website, or alternatively, another website that has the address www.psnc.org. That's www.psnc.org. Now, before we go any further, I've been asked by the Brighton and Hove Older People's Council to tell you about their public meeting at AGM, which takes place in the Jubilee Library on the 12th of September between 10:15 a.m. and 1 p.m. In addition to the AGM, there's a speaker. His name is Thomas Gurney, and he's the Associate Director of Communications at Brighton and Hove Clinical Commissioning Group. And he'll be talking about public engagement on health issues. It says on the form that I have in front of me that coffee, tea and tasty bits will be provided. And admission is, of course, free. You can find out more information from the Older People's Council's website, which is www.olderpeoplescouncil.org. That's www.olderpeoplescouncil.org. And that brings us to the end of our programme for this time. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard in this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners. There'll be another edition in a fortnight's time. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with me to let me know what you think of the programme, or perhaps to suggest items you might like me to cover, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me by email, and the address is info@greymattersproductions.org.uk. That's info, spelled I-N-F-O, at greymattersproductions, which is typed all as one word, .org. UK. And as I said, I'd love to hear from you. Well, it now only remains for me, Richard Davis, on behalf of Grey Matters Productions, who make this programme, to thank everyone who's taken part in the programme. Once again, to thank you for listening, and until we meet again, to wish you all the very best. Goodbye.
At Home This Morning is a Grey Matters production.